Mark chapter 5, and we'll read this morning the last half of the chapter, verses 21 through 43. Mark 5, 21 through 43. Beloved, this is the Word of God, so give your attention to His Word. It is that in which we find, where we find life and light. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around Him, and so He stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing Him fell at His feet and implored Him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And He went off with him, and a large crowd was following Him and pressing in on Him. A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His cloak, for she thought, "If I just touch His garments, I will get well." Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And His disciples said to Him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While He was still speaking, they came from the house of a synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." And He allowed no one to accompany Him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and He saw a commotion, people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, He said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at Him. But putting them all out, He took along the child's father and mother and His own companions, and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, He said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. And He gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and He said that something should be given her to eat. And that is God's Word. Who is Jesus? He is the healer of our bodies, our frail bodies which are withering away. Jairus comes up to Him. He tells Jesus of his daughter. And why does he come up? Because he believes that Jesus can heal his daughter. He tells Jesus of his daughter who's dying, and he pleads that Jesus would come and make her well. And so Jesus was going with him to go heal her. And this is a situation much like it was with Lazarus, if you remember. Because you would think you must come quickly to her so that she will not die. It's the same with Lazarus. He needed to come to Lazarus so that he would not die. But Jesus is stopped by this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and by faith she touched his cloak. Remember, by faith in the healer. She touched his cloak and she was healed. Because she knew if she could just touch his cloak, she would be made well. Because she had faith. She touched the robe, she was healed. Everyone around him, the people, as the disciples have described, they were pressing in around him. That's in, like, you're in this huge crowd and there's no space between you, any other people. And they're touching you. Everybody's touching you. But we see Jesus' divinity here because he knew specifically that a woman had touched him and touched his robe. We see in verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now Jesus was stopped by this woman, but there was no time to waste to try to get to Jairus' daughter before she died. But Jesus went at his timing, just as it was in the situation with Lazarus. It's God's timing. And it seems communicated because Jesus stopped for the woman to heal her. Verse 35, the daughter is dead. In God's providence. But Jesus is not just any old healer. He is God Almighty. He's maker of heavens and the earth. And as they were saying to him, "Don't bother any longer," we see the miracle that proves not only that he is sent from God, which most miracles that we see in the scriptures show that one is sent from God, but this one did not just show that he was sent from God, but that he actually is God himself. Not only did he know that someone in the midst of the crowd pushing in on him had touched him, now he raises this little girl up from the dead, as he did with Lazarus. And with such ease, he will command our bodies to be raised up from the dead on the last day as well. For all who would believe on him, unto salvation, he will save you, he will raise up your body from this earth, and you will be glorified with new glorified bodies. And be with the Lord forever and be in his presence. And yet, we also know the opposite. What happens to those who do not believe? That their bodies too will be raised up, but will be judged forever in the fiery hell that we'll read about this morning in Matthew's Gospel when we consider the sixth commandment. And so, beloved, we are called here to believe the gospel, to believe in this Jesus who is not just sent from God, but is God himself. He is the God-man, fully God and fully man. And you must come to him, lest you die forever. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, you are the greatest. You are God who, in your grace and mercy, sent your Son, Jesus, the Word, the Light, to earth. You made the Word become flesh and dwell among us, that we might behold His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, we're thankful that the Word, Jesus, your Son, was not just a man, but he was the God-man, for he was from the beginning and was with you and was and is you, is God. And we're thankful for you, Father. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is one God, the same in substance and equal in power and glory. We're thankful that you have given us knowledge of this, the Godhead, that you are a spirit, infinite and eternal and unchangeable in your being, wisdom and power, and holiness and justice, goodness and truth, and that you will never fail us, never leave us, but always show mercy to us. That, as Psalm 23 says, we'll know that mercy will always track us down even when we try to flee because of our sin. You will still show us mercy because your mercy is long-suffering. And you will shower us with your grace. Even in this life, as we struggle in our bodies now, we look forward to the resurrection as we celebrated this resurrection on this, the Lord's Day. When Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And we look forward to the resurrection of our own bodies. And we who have believed will be raised to everlasting life with new glorified bodies, in which we think of our bodies that we have now, which as we grow older we learn more and more how frail we really are and how much more we need you. But Father, there will be a day for and then for all eternity that we will have bodies which do not have pain. There's no agony. There's no struggle. But there is heaven with you forever. And perfect joy. And perfect comfort. And perfect life. Without sin. And Father, we ask now that you would give us this faith that we see in the woman who had the hemorrhage and the synagogue official who believed that you can heal. Father, we have greater faith because we know that you do heal. And we thank you that in this life we have seen many of our prayers answered in the healing of our own bodies. As we have prayed much, you have brought healing to those who have gone before us and have died because their bodies, though they remain in the grave, they're still united with you and will be raised up. But your souls, immediately, their souls have immediately passed into glory and are with you and are healed of their sin now. You've answered our prayers in that regard. And various little sicknesses like colds and flus, you've answered our prayers and healed us. And Father, you are continuing to heal some amongst us. And so, Father, we pray for them that you would heal Karen, and we ask that you would heal Dina and Sharon. Father, we've even asked in the last month or so for Mary Ashley's brother that you would heal him. And you have answered that prayer, and we thank you that he is strengthened. We ask that you would cause him to finish his responsibility and calling now, and his training in the military. And Father, we're asking that you would bless us with a greater faith, that we would go forth from here with full confidence that you will heal our bodies and our souls. And that we would have no doubts, knowing that you are with us always by your Spirit. So, Father, strengthen us by your word this day, and in our hearts by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.